You've got Boris and Bracy, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score 303. We're mentioning the NBA lockout and everything. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? Because I don't think I've ever seen this on the screen before. We have live at the lockout. I don't think we've had that before. Live at the lockout.
I think we've had live from the lockup before, but not live at the lockout, which means he's covering men in suits, saying things that probably aren't true. But that's what you do in these situations. We had it with the NFL, and now Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com is doing it with the NBA. He joins us on the Home Run In Score Hotline. You can follow Chris Sheridan on Twitter, as I do, at SheridanHoops. And from following you, I've learned that you have been, from the start of this thing, more sanguine than most when it comes to how this looks, that a lot of the doomsday projections just really didn't find traction with you as you tried to see through all the words. So it might be a nervous time for an optimist at this point, or do you think that that as it approaches the time where something has to get done, that you stand by what you've said, that ultimately there's just too much for both sides to lose here?
Absolutely the latter. You have to at some point go to your common sense meter and say, would it really make that much sense for the owners to go into a lockout where they're losing games? Are they going to come out of that with enough extra money to justify alienating, a large base of the fans that they've just really recaptured in the last 3 years? They got to punish their product. They have to a certain degree, demonize their players as greedy, when everybody kind of knows in this negotiation it's the owners who have been taking and the players who have been giving. There comes a point where David Stern has to call off the dogs and say, we've had this lockout for 3 months. We've probably netted about $500 million, so it was a good investment, but let's get to the end game and let's close this thing out and let's do it in time to save the start of the season and follow the NFL model. And if you do that, a lot of people were worried about the NFL during the lockout, but boy, as soon as they settled, they had a honeymoon with their fans where there was so much player movement and so many signings and whatnot. Everybody forgot about the lockout, and they started their season on time, and here we are going into, week four, and the lockout is a real distant memory. So the NBA is still poised to be in a similar position. All they have to do is really meet on the numbers, on the money, and they've got 4 or 5 days to do that, and they're not all that far apart, especially when you look in terms of the first few seasons of the upcoming deal that they're negotiating. They're only a couple $100 million apart in those seasons. It's when you start stretching it out into years 7, 8, 9, 10, where the real big differences are on money, and that's kind of fueling some of the doomsday talk. But to get back to my original point, fellas, does it make sense for these guys to damage the NBA with a lockout when they've already, over the course of these negotiations, over the course of this lockout, netted back, a couple $1 billion over 6 years from the players? I don't think it does, and that's why I think we're going to see a settlement early next week.
Yeah, we mentioned this, Chris, and it's not a like and everything, because nobody has the runaway TV numbers and interest that the NFL has, but the NBA does have, coming off a really successful season in terms of TV and interest and everything in the game. So you say, I don't care about the, well, a lot of people do care about the NBA. It's not, obviously, it's not the monster that the NFL is, but you're correct. I mean, I believe what you say, that ultimately common sense will win out in this thing.
Yeah, there's just too much to lose. And if you go back and you look at the last time the NBA had a lockout, it was in 1998, and Michael had just won the last, his second three-peat with the Bulls, and everybody knew he was kind of done. And the new faces of the league were guys like Allen Iverson and Stephon Marbury and Kevin Garnett. And Kevin Garnett at the time had just signed an extension worth $126 million. That's like double what Michael Jordan made through his whole career with the Bulls, and Michael had to have a $30 million paycheck year in order to get up to there. So there was really something fundamentally wrong with the system at the time that the owners had to go to war to fix. And that's why they went into a lockout in 1998, and they came out of it with a hard cap on player salaries. And that's why when everybody was chasing LeBron James last summer, they were all offering them the same money, because there's a limit to what you can offer. That's something that came out of the 1998 lockout, and it's something that the owners really needed to get costs under control. They're not in any kind of similar dire straits right now, and they're not at a transitional period either from one generation to another. They're right in the middle of the careers of Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Kobe Bryant's still got plenty of productive years left in him, and the Celtics probably have one last push, and the Mavericks were, you know, kind of a surprise champion last year, and the Knicks got better with Carmelo Anthony, so there's a lot of positives going on in the NBA.
Everybody's waiting for you to mention Derrick Rose.
Well, there's always Derrick Rose as well, you know, going off his MVP season, and we'll see if he can make it onto the 2012 Olympic team as well. But, you know, look how well the Bulls were last season. They had the best record in the league. So there's a lot of good stories. There's a lot of big markets with good teams. They're coming off a season with record attendance. Their ratings were through the roof during the playoffs, and even in the draft where nobody knew any of the guys who were getting drafted. So merchandise sales were at an all-time high. This is not a broken business. This is a business that has some problems economically where the wealthy teams are able to win more titles than the poor teams. But there's ways to fix that, and there's mechanisms that they already have in their old collective bargaining agreement that they can tweak. It's really a matter of what's the split going to be on the money. And in 11 years, it's been the players get 57%, the owners get 43%. What are we going to come out of this weekend or this 4 days of talks with? I think it's going to be a lot more closer to 50-50. The players probably would be lucky to have a 52-48 split, but the players are going to end up with something like 51 or 50, but it's going to allow them to get all their paychecks this season, and as long as they're not having to take pay cuts, which is something that the league was asking for earlier in these discussions, I think there can be a deal that's put to a vote that's going to be ratified.